Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully you've thawed out. You've all thawed out? Yes. Good. Good. Well, it's time for the kids to go their program, if they're not up there already. The littlies, oh, there you are. I was wondering where you guys were. Have fun. Epic Junior for the kindy to year two age upstairs. The primaries from year three to six meet in the foyer. Join Kathy. God bless you guys. If there's someone here, that just make sure that we register in the foyer if your kid is needs to go to the program. But I'm sure we have a few visitors here this morning, being school holidays. Is there anyone from overseas that happens to coming from a holiday? I'm sure there are. There's some Kiwis I smelt this morning. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's just that sense, you know. No, it's really cool. We actually have a wonderful opportunity to see some faces that we knew back in New Zealand when I was ministering as a youth pastor, and it was just fantastic to have you guys and see you guys again. So welcome to you. Anyone from out of state of Queensland? Yeah, anyone? Welcome. Welcome. Great that you could join us this morning. Any Sunshine Coasters here this morning? Oh, okay. All right. Just a few. And I see a couple of hands. That's great. That's good. If you could just briefly turn to In the Loop, grab it. If you haven't read it already, now's your opportunity to find out what is happening within the life of the church. So just to highlight a few things, first of all, there is a barbecue today. Anyone's welcome to join a beach barbecue at Golden Beach opposite Roy Street. That's at 12 p.m. today. If you look through, there's a Elijah House seminar, half-day seminar this coming Saturday, The Blessings of Radical Obedience. There's a men's event. And also church camp. Church camp is next month on the 19th and 20th of August. Today is the last day in which you can actually put your name down to sign up to be part of that weekend. I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't already. We don't need payment now. All we need is a list of those who are coming on that weekend. It's going to be a great time together up in Mapleton. And as I said last week, if cost is an issue, please come chat to me or to Jono. And we'd love to have people there. We don't want money to be an issue. So please come chat to us. But we need the names today of those that are coming along. So either come see me or Jono after the service. Even if you're coming for the day. Just want to come for Saturday or Sunday. All right, a couple of other things. Volunteers. On this coming Wednesday morning, we have the Caloundra Christian College staff breakfast, and which we have twice a year. We just want to honor and bless the staff here at the college. And so we need people to come along and just help prepare that. From 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning. And then you can have something to eat yourself. All right. And I think there's machine-made coffees available for sale after the service. That's to go towards the Building Development Fund. At least that's what I got told. No, not you. No, so another couple. That should be here. Well, I'll let you know by the end of the service. Can't spot them at the moment. Oh, maybe they're in the kitchen getting ready. All right. All good. And also we've had the blessing of having Rob and Judy and the family with us here in Aussie before you begin your new mission in India. And Rob and Judy shared with us about, you know, how God has shaped them and the ministry of the last couple of years. Just to let you know that we as a church do support them, and there's some individuals here that do support them financially. But if you'd like to consider doing that, there are these cards out in the foyer on the table. If you'd like to grab one and consider supporting the work and mission of the Webbers, do that. All right. Have I forgotten anything? Might be my head's a bit funny off, fuzzy after the All Black Lions game last night. Couldn't sleep. But not many people here are interested in rugby union, so I won't go on. All right. Could I have that PowerPoint, please, Jade or Geordie? I might just be able to press this. Great. Okay. All right. Let's engage and camp around God's word again this morning. All right. You ready? You keen? On the back of In the Loop, there's a space there for you to write some notes. So I encourage you to do that if you want to engage with what is been said this morning. I encourage you to jot down a few notes and to go and reflect on that during the week. And we are back in Ephesians, and we are looking at chapter 6, the start of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And as I said last week, which we covered a fair block of verses, we cannot possibly go into this in any depth. So we kind of just, as God leads, we kind of just drawing out a few things that we think that we can focus on as we go through these verses. But it's just been so cool to study this amazing book, which is just a celebration of what God has done in our lives. But also in the formation of his church, the bride, and how one should relate to one another within the context of the body of Christ. But also now looking more at individuals, and the context of the verses that we're going to do this morning is relationships within a Christian household. So that's the context of the verses we're going to look at this morning, relationships within a Christian household and how God's new economy has changed the way in which those relationships need to be shaped and expressed. And last week we looked at the verses which focuses on husbands and wives and the concepts of submission and headship. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you, the message was recorded. It'll be up on the website soon if you'd like to have a listen to that. But I think we should start in prayer. We have been praying, we've been worshiping, but we come before the throne of grace this morning. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you that in the Spirit breathes life and truth into our very beings. Lord, we want to go deep in your word. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, guide us this morning. Speak to our hearts and minds. Show us what you wish to say to us this morning. You are welcome here. Won't you still the busy workshops of our hearts and our minds? We have fresh revelation this morning. So remember, the context of these verses is relationships within a Christian household. And so we go on to chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And now Paul, after having addressed the wives and the husband, he addresses the children of the household. And he says these words, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." No specific age range is given here with regards to children, but we can be fairly certain that he was talking to those who were still dependent in various ways on their parents, who had not yet themselves come of age, if you will, to a place where they could make their own way in life. And there may be a few here that are in, fall into that bracket. Now, just a couple of disclaimers before we just camp around these verses briefly this morning. First of all, in what I say, there's no judgment, all right? I'm not going to ask you young people, how does your obeyometer, where's that sitting at the moment in life? That's not my aim this morning. And similarly with parents, being one myself, there is certainly come from a heart of humility and seeking God, holding on to Him every step of the way. And also, when I refer to parents this morning, I also mean caregivers. Caregivers, those that have authority in raising children in their context. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, listen to them. Be obedient to your parents' instruction, guidance, and correction. Children, the fact is, and as we know, that we don't come out of the womb fully responsible adults, do we? There are stages of development and maturity that we need to go through, and different life skills that we need to establish that require the presence and the guidance of parents who have themselves lived through and acquired. And in a Christian context, they are God's instruments to care for you. Your parents have been called by God to raise you in His ways. It's a big calling, but it is a calling nonetheless. And so, if you understand this, don't despise the instruction and the correction of your parents. I know that as you grow up, there is a natural strong pull of rebellion. And that in increasing measure, you think you know and strongly desire your freedom. But don't dismiss or resent your parents' coaching. Honor them by recognizing and appreciating their divine calling and by being obedient to them. Now, is this an absolute blind obedience in everything? Well, no, we know all too well that because of the imperfection of humanity, because of our sinfulness, even in a Christian household, our parents' instruction and correction, either directly or indirectly, is not always God-honoring and doesn't always contribute to the child's healthy development, and may sometimes even be destructive or harmful, in which blind obedience is not beneficial. And in some cases, that's where intervention in its many different forms and ways come in, and other people become involved. As a child grows up and matures, so increasingly this whole issue is able to be understood a lot more and navigated through. However, I can assure those that are still dependent on their parents that many parents, especially those that are seeking to be parented by God, their Father, they really desire the best for their children and want to see them flourish and grow and mature. Even though they get it wrong sometimes. Any parents got it wrong? Okay, just a couple of you. All right. And that's why a culture of grace and forgiveness needs to be fostered, as both children and parents are professional mistake makers. I want to encourage you young guys and girls who are still dependent on your parents, you haven't made your own way in life, and I want to encourage you to pray for them. Pray for your parents. We need a children's praise. Now, it doesn't say obey your parents in the Lord or else, does it? For this is right, honor your father and mother, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, the quotation there is slightly varied from the quotation in Deuteronomy and Exodus, that one of the Ten Commandments, which we know. It's slightly varied. The one in Exodus says that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord God gives you. So it was really focusing on this idea of Israel as a community, as a nation entering the land of Israel. And if they followed and obeyed not only their Heavenly Father, but if children came under the protection and the coaching of their parents, there would be a general well-being in the land that was established. This is not a promise to each individual child that if they obey their parents, they will live a long life. We know that's simply not the case. But in general, where obedience to parents is found in a community setting, whether that be in a household or a larger context, there is usually found, along with that obedience, self-control, productivity, regular ways of life, and other habits that tend towards it doing well, bringing a sense of shalom to it, creating an environment in which the best can be brought out of each other. And so it does, can go well. But this is really what I want to focus on this morning, is verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Is there an environment in which children are more likely to be obedient, to adhere, to listen to their parents' instruction and correction? Well, I think the answer is yes to that question. Because that's why Paul writes this verse here. He addresses the fathers, but this word pateros is also refers to the mothers or the caregivers. Do not provoke to anger. Sometimes translation uses the word exasperate. In other words, to really get to them. To really get to your children, to deal with them in a way that produces resentment. But bring them up. The word literally means to nourish or to feed in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That word discipline is another way of describing it, could be correction. The word is also used in Hebrews 12 with reference to the early fathers and their children, but more importantly, in reference to our Heavenly Father who disciplines his children. It's a discipline that is self-controlled, understanding, firm but fair, and not out of injured pride, domination, or manipulation. And then instruction, training someone in order that they may mature mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, and spiritually. Instruction. Another word may be coaching, in modern terms. And together those two things, correction, discipline, and instruction or coaching, helps children to develop their character, to form values, to solve problems, to make good decisions, to build their self-esteem and emotional intelligence. It is about affirming and celebrating their gifts and talents and creating opportunities for them to be used in a healthy and a meaningful way. And in a Christian context, our discipline and instruction is to be in the Lord, which is really about imparting wisdom to our children. Godly instruction or insight for living. That's what wisdom is. It's godly insight and instruction for living, for life. And wisdom gives the one the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action. And it what leads along paths of righteousness. And the main source of wisdom is God's word to us. For all scripture is breathed out by God. God breathed and is profitable for what? Teaching, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We have a parenting program that we have run for a couple of years through the school. It is called Toolbox, and it's been wonderful to be part of facilitating that course here. And every time I facilitate it, I pick up one or two more things that I really try hard to implement in the home. And Toolbox really is just one of the tools to help parents develop their children in these areas of correction and coaching to build them up and to nurture them in that way. But despite the great thing about courses like Toolbox and many others, P3, and there are many books that have been written on parenting, I don't know about you, but parents, there is no formula, is there? A 12-step process to make sure you mold obedient children. There aren't any guarantees. But we do recognize that parenting is one of the noblest roles there is. And we need to consistently remind ourselves of the dignity of that role. But there aren't any formulas or guarantees. And things, as we know, could be very messy in homes. We cannot write our children's testimonies for them. As much as we would like to, we cannot write their testimonies. But I really believe that we can shape them. We can shape them, impact them for the good. And therefore, as parents, as you know, there needs to be some sort of intentionality when it comes to the way in which we raise our children. And now I'm speaking to those who are great grandparents and grandparents and parents still, and you guys can probably be up here and bring much more flavor with regards to the stuff that I'm talking about. And I acknowledge that. But I will just highlight a few things with regards to what has come out of Toolbox, but other things. Dr. Lloyd-Jones said, "If parents but gave as much intentional thought to the rearing of their children as they do to the rearing of animals and flowers, the situation would be very different." Interesting statement. And Toolbox and other things are wonderful, but you know, as much as correction and instruction are important, there are two other things much more fundamental and foundational that needs parents' attention. This is what I've discovered. It's the discipline. It comes at the top. We've talked about that. And it's great when parents really, when they come to Toolbox, they're looking for discipline strategies and tips. It's kind of a natural thing they want first. You know, how can I just control my kids in greater measure? And those things are good. You know, how can I coach them as a parent? And those are great things, and we need those. But there's more foundational things, and that's the discipline and the instruction. What comes underneath those? What's more foundational that needs to be developed? Example? Yeah. I'd like to read a story. Comes up. There we go. This is a little testimony from a book called Loving Your Kids on Purpose by Danny Silk. And this is what he says. Just a cool story. In the autumn of 2006, my friend and I had the opportunity to present a parenting series at a local public high school. We had 6 weeks of weekly two-hour meetings with parents who had freshman students in danger of being expelled from school. Poor attendance, failing grades, and referrals to the office for discipline earmarked families for this program. Although the program had been aggressively promoted, it is still voluntary and only four parents attended the first night. Fortunately, several other families from the community had heard about the training and came as well, helping to fill the room. A woman who seemed guarded and hard, inverted commas, was sitting in the front row as I taught and interacted with the group. It turned out that she was overwhelmed and hurting. And I think a lot of parents are. We get that at times, don't we? It's parenting is a tough gig. It's a tough gig. There's many times of joy and celebration, but it's not easy, as you all know. She finally got to the point where she had had enough of me talking as though parenting issues were easy to deal with and blurted out in frustration and hope, "Okay, Mr. Know-it-all, I have a 14-year-old girl who fights with me at least 5 times a day. She fights with her brother and sister whenever she is around. She's failing her classes, doing this and that. And what are you going to do about that, huh?" Well, the room was stunned. Everyone in the room had his or her own story, as we do. But this lady's was clearly quite desperate. She was completely worn out. Her oldest child was out of control, and her home was in absolute chaos. I just looked at her, nodding my head, and trying to shake off having been called Mr. Know-it-all. Finally, I said, which is quite weird, it came out of my mouth, this is the guy writing, not me, Tell me about your connection with your daughter. Describe the heart-to-heart connection between the two of you. Well, she looked at me with the eyes that asked, what? So I repeated what I said. She was not expecting that response. No one in the room was expecting it. We all sat in silence as she thought for a few minutes, and then came the tears. The mother put her head down and said, well, we do not have connection. In fact, we're scared of each other. I said, this is the biggest problem that you have right now. The connection is the culprit. We need to work on solutions to this problem before we can ever approach solutions to those other issues. She looked at me like I'd popped her on the nose with a rolled up newspaper. She couldn't believe what she was hearing. She thought she needed to be more effective in controlling her daughter and knew that nothing she had tried so far was working. It had been a long time since she'd thought about their love. We talked briefly about some ways to repair their connection, and off she went. The next week, I asked if anyone had tried anything new in the last week, and if there were any questions I might answer before we started the next segment. Still sitting in the front row, but now smiling a bit, the woman said, I think a miracle's happened. We only fought twice this week. It's a miracle. She seems a little kinder to everyone in the house. We're all in shock. It's a bit of a miracle. And the room erupted in applause, and she smiled. And I asked her what she'd done, and her response was priceless. I went home thinking about what you said about our connection. I'd never even considered that was the problem. I then realized that I wasn't being myself anymore in our relationship. I was hurt and angry all the time towards her. I was more of a control freak than ever. I had no idea that I was much part of this problem as she was. Wow. I apologize for being controlling and disrespectful. I told her that things were going to be different because I was going to change. I told her that I loved her more than she could ever imagine. And I cried and held her. She giggled while telling the story. I think I scared the heebie-jeebies out of her. That's her daughter. Another word was used, but heebie-jeebies is good. And this is quite remarkable. And, you know, for some, this is a lot longer. It takes a lot longer than a week off. But this was her situation. That was week three. The following week, the mum came into the class and her daughter walked in behind her. She didn't make eye contact with me and chose a seat at the top of the theater-style seating in the room. All by herself, she sat there looking down on the sparsely occupied room. Her mum had another testimony that night for the class. She said, we didn't fight all week. That hasn't happened in years. She was beaming and bouncing up and down, clapping herself. Then she turned and pointed to the young lady at the top row of seats. My daughter came to class with me tonight to find out what you guys are doing to her mother. You see, more foundational than the discipline, the correction, or the instruction is the connection, the relationship. Are my children experiencing my unconditional love for them through building of a relationship? Are they discovering that I actually like being with them? I was challenged by that one. Do I like being with my kids? Especially when they're acting up? But I love this saying. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. And this connection, thank goodness, is also talked about in parenting courses and in books and all those kind of things. But I think the most fundamental part of parenting, that is not often talked about in much depth at all is this: dealing with me. Discipline and instruction and connection, they're great goals. And we need to learn and see how to develop. But the greatest goal is dealing with me. You see, there's so much more to the situation than just what is going on in your child's world. And that more is you. We all have our life testimonies which contain the good of our growing up and also the trauma of growing up. Those bad things that have happened to us, but those good things that haven't happened to us, that should have. And we can bring a lot of good into our parenting, can't we? But we can also be significant contributors to the struggle in a parent-child relationship. We know that. So the question in that dealing with me part of parenting needs to be asked: how was I parented? How was I parented? What was I taught and what have I caught? What unhealthy messages or ways do I bring into my parenting? What about your own thoughts? What about my motives? What about my attitudes and behavior? What hurts and unmet needs are affecting my relationship with my children? Am I committed to my own journey of growth as a person and to change the way I think and act as a parent? You see, the primary goal of parenting is not to get our children to obey, but to sort out our mess. And friends, it is in Him. It's in the Lord that we find freedom from false and destructive beliefs that influence our feelings, our responses, and our actions. He is the one that can redeem the unredeemed parts of our hearts and soul in order that we may be grounded in the truth. And that's what we often preach here at City Life. God, transform, heal my heart, and make me clean, because it's going to be from the inside out. Whether that's in parenting, or whether that's in other relationships. By being grounded in truth, we are able to be mediators of God's love to our children, to express the kind of relationship that God designed us to have with Him. How does God parent us? How does God parent us? By writing His law on our hearts and our minds, in order that we may have the capability and responsibility to control ourselves. Through love and freedom, not through punishment and fear. Through love and freedom, not through punishment and fear. And that's what we work towards as parents and caregivers, that we will operate out of love and freedom in increasing measure. Just one more thing to read to you. Page 79. Almost there. When the ministry of Jesus on the earth seemed to have no end in sight, he told the disciples that he had to go, but that he wasn't going to leave them alone. John 16:7. He didn't say, "I want to make sure that you guys stay in line, so I'm going to leave you the punisher. Watch your step. Nor did he say, I'm going to go, and to make sure that you don't mess this up, I'm leaving you the controller. No, somehow it seemed right to him to leave us with the helper, the comforter, the one who comes alongside, the one who brings conviction, the counselor, the one who reminds us. The very model that we have of heaven's government is a helper, a counselor, and a reminder, not a highway trooper. In leaving us the comforter, he was saying, I'm going to leave you somehow, someone who will help you maneuver your life through the abundant freedom of my Father's kingdom. That's why I think the greatest thing we can do as parents is to fall increasingly in love with God. So that we can live and relate out of love and freedom. Not only to our children, you know, but in all relationships. You get the picture. And then if this is the case, and we know that it's not, and that's just the reality of life, but if this is the case where both father and mother in a Christian household context are together, then the best thing we can do is to love each other first. Now, please, once again, I say, this is, I'll bring this, not in any form of like, oh my gosh, you know, oh dear, you know, I wish I knew this 20 years ago. No, I'm not, that's not where I'm coming from. As I said, parenting is a real tough gig. I've got so much to learn, and I often get it wrong. I really do. I get it wrong a lot. But I have something to aim for. I have some guidelines to shoot for, to pursue, that I think are healthy. And so that's why I say to myself, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Help me firstly to learn to love my wife, Sarah, and out of an overflow, my kids. But he's given us the comforter, the counselor, the coach, the instructor, the one that comes alongside. And we can just go to him and receive what we need. And he will lead us on our journey as parents, as grandparents, as, you know, with our spouses, whatever it is. Let's pray. Father God, I know that in this room there are those that have lived through many things. And Lord, you know, we've all experienced the good and the bad and the trauma in terms of various things. But Lord, I just pray that it doesn't matter where we are, where we come from, that today you grant your freedom and your love. And today you grant us the gift of your infilling of your Holy Spirit to live forward, to be guided, whether that's just through taking action, simple things, whether that's pursuing restoration, reconciliation. And Lord, we don't know the length of that journey. We don't know what you have, but we submit to you this morning. Lord, I do pray for those that are parenting currently, that are raising, those that are dependent on them, young children. I pray for your wisdom and your discernment. How we need it these days, we need your grace. I just pray for Christian households that there would be a environment of grace and forgiveness that is nurtured. Lord, I pray for our young people who are still dependent on their parents, Lord. I just really pray that as they submit to you, that they will just be able to understand the role that, parents have and just the amount of good stuff that, parents do have to offer. So Lord, we pray for our families. Lord, we recognize that in our context, in our day and age, that the family unit is being attacked under tremendous pressure, and it's confusing. It's confusing for a lot of people. So Lord, I just pray for those that know you, those who know and love you, that in their family environment, that you would just grow and mature, that you would just strengthen bonds between husbands and wives and parents and children for your glory. Lord, I just want to pray for those that are really doing it tough for various reasons at the moment. Oh God, just reach them in their point of need. Touch them, I pray. Just in the quiet of your hearts now, I just want to encourage you, if you're a parent or grandparent, great-grandparent, wherever you are, won't you just pray for your children? Oh, your sons and your daughters, they're not necessarily your children because they come under your authority or have to listen to what you say, but your sons and daughters, won't you just pray for them? And young people, I want to encourage you, just in the quiet of your heart, just you can pray for your parents, your caregivers. In your place, pray for any lifting of shame. Any lifting of shame this morning. No shame in your presence. Just comfort, Lord. Lord, we pray for. I know people here just often express their desire for their sons or daughters to come into a saving faith, who aren't active in the life of the Lord. We pray for them again. Lord, I just pray that you just give them the strength to keep on praying. Keep on praying for their sons and daughters to come home. Yes, Lord. the worship team come up. They're just going to continue to play. And, you know, we would like people to come up to the front here. If you would like prayer for anything, the prayer meeting members are going to be up here on the front. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe it's just you need just someone to come alongside you this morning in your role as a parent or whatever, a grandparent, whatever. You just want someone to pray with you with regards to that. Please come up. Take that step. Walk up to the front. We'd love to pray with you. And can I ask that this just remains a quiet space in the hall? If you're welcome to leave and go and grab a coffee, please could you do that out in the courtyard and keep your conversation for them, for that area, and we'll just keep this a quiet, reflective space, opportunity for people to be ministered to. Is that okay? Is that good? So God bless you as you leave, and live life under the call, which is really the main call, is intimacy with Him. That's the call. Walk in love, truth, and power.